Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
Hey, Molly Herford here with another episode of the Business of Fitness podcast here on the Feisty Media Network. I'm so excited to be here. So excited that Sarah Gross has let me take over the Women's Performance podcast feed here to talk about all things business in the fitness industry. I know between the quote unquote great resignation, the pandemic giving us this more time to work from home, I know so many women who've been trying to make it in the fitness industry, whether we're talking about wanting to start your own yoga studio, be a personal trainer, become a physical therapist, write a book, launch a podcast, do some freelance work for fitness-oriented or endurance sport-oriented magazines, or even just work for a more kind of standard company within the fitness space. A lot of people want that right now, and we are here to help you figure out exactly how to get there. And if you're already part of the way there, we're also here to give you some tactical, practical tips and pieces of advice for maximizing your time, getting more stuff done, and giving you much more time in your day to get out there and do the thing that we love, which is probably training for your next race, event, or competition. So this week we have Zwift's Kate Verano. She is the women's coordinator over there. She's in charge of all women's development, women's programming at Zwift. You might know her from the billion and one interviews that she did around the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift, the Zwift-sponsored version of the Tour de France that took place for the first time ever this summer. It was an amazing event, but that is not Kate's first foray into women's stuff with Zwift. She came on board 6 years ago when they launched Zwift Academy, which was the hunt to find the next pro women's cyclist who actually got a spot on the Canyon SRAM team in that first year. Let's just like pause and think about how cool and how wild that proposition was 6 years ago, before riding the trainer in the winter was this super common thing that everyone did, where everyone was on Zwift chatting away and going on quote unquote group rides on Zwift. They were already doing this thing that allowed a woman to actually pursue her dreams of being a pro cyclist. And they've done it every year since. So we talk all about that. We also talk about how she got that job, because let's be honest, most of us are looking at women like Kate thinking, how the heck do I get her job? Well, we get into it. But we also get into what the day-to-day really looks like. Because sure, it's great being at the podium ceremonies for the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift, but it's not all handing out podium squirrels and, hopping on planes and jet setting around the world. There's a whole lot more blood, sweat, and tears that goes into all of this stuff. And we get into all of that, plus how she manages juggling tons of big projects all at once. When one project is launching, but another project is just in the percolation phase, another project is still being kind of finished up. How do you keep all that straight? We get into all of that. It is such a fun conversation. And I think no matter what you're doing right now, where you are in the industry, where you want to be in the industry, you will find some nugget of amazing wisdom in this episode. So without further ado, enjoy The Business of Fitness with Kate Verano. Is this your like studio here? What's up?
Yeah, this is my, it's LA. So this is my spare bedroom, my pain cave, my cap collection room, and my bike closet, and also the Great Dane's bedroom. Bruce's
bedroom. I love it. I love it. I feel like this is actually like a perfect embodiment of like everything that you do, you know, all in one place.
It kind of is. It's a little chaotic, but I'm a little chaotic, so I like it.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's get right into this, because I feel like even this explanation of what is in your spare bedroom is like maybe the most beautiful like beginning to a podcast ever. So Kate, welcome to the Business of Fitness podcast. I'm stoked on everything we get to talk about.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, Molly.
Okay, so before I get into it, I have to ask, how was the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift? Which, by the way, I've been practicing saying for like a month and a half, and I feel like I can say it so quickly now.
That was so smooth. It's perfect. It was absolutely surreal. That's like the only way I've been able to describe it, because there's just not the words to properly capture what an incredible moment it was, how impressive the racing was, the crowds, the feeling, seeing so many women in the industry there just crushing it. It was just thrilling.
Oh, it was so good to watch. And from the footage, it seemed like it was like just as popular as the men's race, if not more so.
It was nuts. I get goosebumps when I even think about it. The numbers that we saw immediately around like French TV just blew every other race out of the water. It's really just astounding. It really exceeded expectations. People tuned in. People came out, lined the roads. It was everything I wanted and everything that the women deserved. So very, very thrilled. All the sponsors are thrilled. The fans were especially thrilled. Great moment in sport.
Yeah. And I think from the business standpoint, you know, you and I had spoken about this before the race had started. And we talked about the fact that, you know, it's all well and good to talk about women's racing and want to have it. And, you know, from the fan perspective, like be really excited about it and pumped up about it. But if it doesn't work on a business, like from the business side and from the viewership side, it's never going to completely, it's never going to succeed, because, you know, brands can't just like keep throwing money at like, you know, unfortunate racing. And it seems like that was not the case. It seems like this was a fantastic bet for Zwift to make on racing. And
yes,
like, oh my gosh.
There's been this sort of assumption for years now that, you know, women's sports lose money.
Yeah.
And what we have been seeing in the last couple of years, especially, is that just being thrown out the door. And women's sports being one of the most exciting propositions for audiences, for sponsors, for investment. So this is to see that be proven so correct in the cycling space is a very exciting time. And it just paves the way for a very bright future in the sport.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, honestly, it was this race that made me really start thinking more about this podcast concept, which is all about helping women kind of get their foot in the fitness industry, whether it's, you know, launching their own podcast or writing their own book or working for some of these established companies or working for a startup or starting their own company within the fitness space. Because I think, honestly, like now is sort of the time with women's sports. And I think part of what we're going to talk about today is coming into just an already established company as a woman and, you know, how I would actually argue we have a stronger bargaining stance to take as women coming into the fitness industry. Like, hey, we understand women better than like, you know, 45-year-old dude bro over here who's going to come in and run the women's programming for some reason. So I think it's a great time to be talking about all of this stuff. So
couldn't agree more. Women's sports are so hot right now.
So I do. This is actually a funny one for you, because I'm realizing as I said this, the expectation versus reality question might actually be like kind of a comedic one, be in like the flip flop of what I normally expect from this. So I've been starting every episode of this show with the question of like expectation versus reality. And I keep saying, you know, when you imagine being a yoga teacher, you picture yourself like on the mat and being very zen and in this like beautiful space and like speaking to a class of, you know, 30 students who are listening to your every word. And the reality is probably, you know, a lot more admin on the computer and then like hushing people who are like chatting during class and, you know, squeaky floors and like you see a mouse running across. So your expectations tend to not actually stack up to reality, no matter how great the job is. But for you, you know, when you took the role at Zwift or even when you heard the the Tour de France Femmes of Zwift was happening, what did you envision life looking like versus the actual reality of it?
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. So I did join Zwift 6 years ago to run a little program called Zwift Academy, which was going to be this competition on the platform to win a pro contract. So this is what I'm thinking is I'm walking into like, I'm now a reality TV producer. I am going to, we're going to create this global competition. It's going to be all glitzy and it's going to be the hottest thing in cycling right now. And I'm like, I'm running the show, you know? The reality was that there was no roadmap to this and we're a startup. So, you know, ideas to fruition was all on me. It was just, I was the producer essentially of this program, but that means that I was also playing every role to make it happen in execution. And that, you know, ended up being literally coaching people through the workouts. I was the therapist for the finalists, the travel agent to get everybody to the finals. I was the judge of the competition. I was a driver. I was, you know, there was like nothing I didn't do. So, culminating in me being in my hotel room at the Zwift Academy finals under a comforter on my bed, doing the voiceover for the initial videos that came out to cover the competition. So that's, you know, from, you know, what you think to what the actual reality is hysterical. But I'm so grateful to every moment, every bead of sweat that happened, you know, in that program, because now 6 years later, we're talking about, you know, sitting here as the title sponsor to the Tour de France, you know, for women, the Tour de France Femmes of Zwift. So even that, though, like fast forward to the Tour de France, and I'm thinking, oh, well, now I'm a title sponsor. So now this is where things get glitzy. And I'm in Paris on the stage one, and I have to get from the start of the race to where the finish of the race is before the race starts. So like, long story short, I'm sprinting across Paris in my dress to get, you know, down, you know, to get to the finish line to do an interview on Eurosport seconds before the race starts. And, you know, that day I was on the podium on that first day for the race as the title sponsor. I'm on the podium in my dress. And right before I got on the podium, somebody grabbed me. They're like, you have like salt stains all over your dress. So somebody took like a water bottle and hosed me down. So there's always, you know, yes, on Instagram, man, did that look good? And it looked like I, you know, I was all dolled up and you know, presenting. But the reality is, yeah, there's a lot of hard work and behind the scenes chaos.
Literally sweat and tears here.
I love every minute of it.
Oh my gosh, that is fantastic. And I think a really good illustration. And I think also a good illustration of your trajectory at Zwift, though, because what we didn't mention there is Zwift Academy was looking for women cyclists. So this has always been kind of this platform for you. And that was a huge deal at the time.
Yes.
So let's actually go way back. Give me your sort of like 30-second elevator bio. What's your career history? How did we end up at Zwift?
Yeah, so I started my career early on. First thing I did was produce fashion shows, actually. I really love being a facilitator of, you know, for artists. And I knew some fashion designers. And next thing you know, we were doing fashion shows in Providence, Rhode Island, where I went to school. And from that, I actually ended up in web production. Again, just like somebody that's putting the pieces together and, you know, kind of, you know, organizing teams and stuff. And then I fell into racing and I fell in love with the bike and got really into racing my bike. And that was so exciting, but also not a great career, you know, viable career option. So I then ended up falling into the business of cycling, and I was the marketing director at the Valley Preferred Cycling Center, the Velodrome in Trexlertown, Pennsylvania, one of the biggest velodromes in the country. And I worked there for a few years. And then I ended up meeting a crew that was doing bike tours in Europe. And I was a marketing director for Thompson Bike Tours in Europe. And that, the fun part of that job is I actually spent a couple months a year going over to Europe and helping lead the tours because I had just come from racing. So I was pretty fit. So that was really fun, taking people all through the Alps and the Pyrenees. And I was taking them to the Tour de France, the men's tour, because that's all there was. And through that, I discovered Zwift because I saw a bunch of my clients were doing Zwift. And I wrote Zwift an email. I had just moved out to California and I wrote Zwift an email and I said, hey, I'd love to do a partnership with you. Let's do a challenge. Let's do a Strava challenge and we'll give you a trip to the Tour de France to give away. And we did that challenge. And that's how I met the people at Zwift and built those relationships. And then next thing you know, they approached me about this opportunity to host this global talent ID competition with Canyon SRAM Racing, which was the very exciting new World Tour women's team. And we were going to host a competition on the platform to win a pro contract with that team. And it was just an unprecedented opportunity. It was kind of crazy at the time. But I was like, I need a new challenge. And this is a very exciting proposition. I like that Zwift was trying to do something different. I had come from not really feeling like there was an opportunity to race my bike professionally or there was enough opportunity. So to create that opportunity on the platform was thrilling. And that's my Zwift story.
I love it. And I think what's interesting to me about that is if you reverse engineer it a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, like what got you into Zwift was, you know, it's not that you knew the guys at Zwift or anything like that. It was just like, oh, this is a cool thing that I like. Like, let's see how we can possibly connect what I'm currently doing with this.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people are really afraid of approaching businesses like that and trying to make those connections. And it wasn't even like you were approaching them, asking them necessarily like for, you know, for a job, for mm-hmm. money, for an opportunity. It was like, here, I'm giving you guys this opportunity to do something cool. And, you know, that coalesces into eventually where you are now.
Yeah, it was very cool. I mean, it was exciting to see Zwift doing things differently. And I was like, this is a company that I think would appreciate, you know, somebody being a little bit bold and an idea. And they did. And then that just opens up other opportunities. So it was a really great start.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, okay, I want to go back to your fashion show background. Yeah. Did you ever have like an intense urge to work at any of like the cycling clothing places and try to kind of bring that fashion show expertise? Because now I'm picturing like Fashion Week for cycling. And I'm like, why have you not done this yet? Come on, Kate.
I know. Well, it is one of the things that really drew me to the sport. My husband is a designer. I actually met him when I was doing the fashion shows. We collaborated. He did my first poster for the fashion show. He was a screen printer and a designer. And that poster is hanging in our living room now, 20 years later. But one of the things that really drew me to cycling was this, the style aspect of it, you know, the ability to express yourself and compete and ride. And it was so cool. I mean, there's a beautiful history to it. Cycling posters are some of the first great graphic design. Yep. It's just got a really exciting artistic creative history. And, you know, I think between my husband and I that we both got into cycling together, he designed all my early kits. He still designs my kits. And it's something that's always drawn me to the sport, something I keep a close eye on in the sport. I don't know if I ever wanted to necessarily get into it, but it's just an aspect that I really appreciate. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely what got me into it. It's funny. I didn't realize that you started in the fashion world. I actually also started in fashion with fashion journalism. So I was writing for Elle Girl, the teen fashion magazine that was like based on Elle, for like the year before they ended up closing. And that was when I got into cycling, was after that. So I've like always had this kind of fashion or like aesthetic bent to how I feel about cycling, and cycling just has such fascinating like brand awareness and brand aesthetics. Like every brand I feel like has this like amazing story and design and vibe. And it's so different from brand to, like, there's no just like one way of like cycling has to look like this, right? No. Like Rafa's whole vibe is so different from, say, yeah, Zwift, but it's not that they can't do stuff together, and they actually can and do. Yeah. But they have such different aesthetics. So it's like, no matter who, no matter what your vibe is, there's somewhere in the cycling industry that like you can get in and like, it's your niche.
It's so cool. I love it. And you've seen like design work to raise awareness for different causes, to really differentiate, you know, of course, like teams and to just express and just to, you know, I love every year it kind of reinvents itself as well. And, you know, things like, you know, what like EF and Rafa are doing, or, you know, they drop their newest kit and it's like a clamoring. I mean, it's just incredible to see, how fashion and cycling, you know, interact. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. Although you wouldn't really guess it from me, I guess, because I just wear all black and I probably drive brands crazy, because anytime I'm reviewing stuff, I'm like, do you have it in black? Okay, what about gray? Okay, I'll take white, but like, that's my limit.
Yeah, I love it.
I feel like I drive them nuts, but I have a very specific aesthetic. So there you have it.
Endurance sports should be accessible to everyone, right? That's why we are so excited to be partnering with Motive. Motive is one of the fastest growing training apps in the world today, with thousands of amateur athletes signing up every month and a nearly perfect 4.9 star rating in the App Store. You are not a template, and your training plan should not be either. Prepare for running races, triathlons, cycling events, duathlons, or swim runs, however your season schedule shapes up, and get training written by some of the best coaches in the world in each discipline, who know what it takes to help amateur athletes reach their goal on race day. The app takes the training written by those experts and then creates the most optimal training plan for your schedule, abilities, and goals. Plus, the training is fully customized to your race schedule. How much you can train each week, your current abilities, and the goals you want to achieve in your race. You can use the app for free as long as you want, or get all the upgraded features from the app for just $19.99 a month. But as a feisty listener, you can sign up at mymotive.com and use the code FEISTY for 2 months of full premium access. That's right, you get 2 months of premium for free. So you quite literally have nothing to lose. So head over to mymotive.com, mymotive.com, and use the code FEISTY, FEISTY. And on a personal note, I know the founder of Motive, and he is driven to make triathlon and all endurance sports more accessible for the athletes who care about their performance, but who aren't quite ready for a full-time personal coach. If that sounds like you, definitely try the app for 2 months for free. You literally have nothing to lose. As we head into summer, rest and recovery are critical for improving sports performance, reducing stress, and living a long and healthy life. We should all invest in better sleep. So, think about the thing you lay your head on for 8 hours a night. If it's not exactly right for you, it can lead to needless tossing and turning, or worse, have you waking up with an unrelenting kink in your neck. My new Lagoon pillow has helped me improve my sleep immensely by pairing me with the performance pillow that has everything I need. So I personally was matched with the Otter pillow. Shout out to Team Otter, which I love because it has a gentle cooling effect. And I was able to choose how much stuffing I wanted in it, which is super important to me because I'm doing a decent amount of CrossFit these days and my shoulders are kind of creaky. So having a pillow that is stuffed just to the right height keeps my neck and head in exactly the right position and comfortable for the entire night. And as of fall 2023, Lagoon launched their 100% mulberry silk pillowcases. It's cool to the touch, buttery soft, and great for your skin and hair. You've got to go check out this pillowcase if you want to feel great and look great every morning.
Waking up for morning workouts has never felt better. I'm refreshed and pain-free thanks to my Lagoon pillow. To check it out for yourself, go to lagoonsleep.com/performance and take the 2-minute sleep quiz to find your perfect pillow match. And then use the code PERFORMANCE for 15% off your first purchase. That's code PERFORMANCE at lagoonsleep.com/performance, whole 15% off, and the link is in the show notes. You can just click through there.
So at Zwift now, you know, the Tour de France Femmes is finally wrapped up, or I'm sure there's still a lot to be kind of done on the back end, wrapping something as massive as that up. But what does a normal day in the life look like for you? You know, I know even as we went back and forth finding a time to do this, it obviously, like, lots of stuff kind of comes up in your ether throughout the day. But yep. Like on an average day.
Yeah, an average day. I'm an early bird, starts early, and I really need that time before I turn on my computer. So there's always just a little bit of balance in the morning, a little bit of a workout, walk the dog, have my coffee, you know, ease into the day. But the days start pretty early. There's always some routine kind of meetings and work to do, you know, cleaning out the inbox, things like that. But I will say at Zwift, every day is a new day. And one thing that I plan for is the unplanned. And there's people dropping into the office. There's opportunities that come up. There's fires to be put out. It's still, you know, 6 years later, it still can feel like startup life sometimes. I personally really thrive on that energy. And I think if I knew exactly what I was going to be doing all day, I probably would not be as engaged. So I really appreciate sort of the improv nature of Zwift, because to me, you know, that feels like a challenge and an opportunity at the same time. So, yeah, I think, you know, always there's definitely times where I have to really try and block out focus time to really delve into projects and planning. But there's also that time to be kind of reactive and in the moment. Which I really appreciate. Being a lifelong athlete, I thrive in those moments, and I think a lot of exciting things can happen in those moments where, you know, there's an opportunity to collaborate or think differently, and that's what we do really well at Zwift. So, and that's rarely come from a very, you know, super planned meeting that had, you know, an agenda with it. So. Yeah. So a little of both.
I love it. So when you came on, you were originally helping sort of start Zwift Academy up here. Mm-hmm. What was your job title then? And like, what is it evolved to now?
Yeah, my job title has changed so much. I think it was originally partnerships manager, brand manager, senior growth marketing, cycling manager. Then I was a director of content and women's strategy, and now director of women's strategy. And I really appreciate the focus now, you know, even though that's a pretty big net, women's strategy, you know, that includes things we do in the game for the women's experience in the game, but also our, you know, our exterior partnerships and, you know, event sponsorships and things like that. So it's been a wild ride and not a straight road at all. But again, each of those opportunities, I've learned different aspects of the business. And all of that now has accumulated into a very exciting role as Director of Women's Strategy that allows me to almost be a consult to different aspects of the business on best practices and a playbook for how we can grow our women's audience, how we can elevate the sport of women's cycling. It's been a phenomenal opportunity.
Yeah. And I can imagine it, like, that role really would have you connecting with sort of every different person at Zwift, more or less.
Pretty much.
And you just mentioned, like, the, you know, the set in stone meetings don't tend to really net a whole lot of, like, stuff getting done. But how does like the connection with everyone work, especially between like the remote work slash being in the office? Also, I should apologize. It is pouring rain and like a massive thunderstorm happening. So if you just hear lightning crashing, it's a little excessive.
So. Wow. Yeah, it's 72 and sunny here again. Sorry.
Yeah, you know what? We're coming your way in a couple months. So just look out. Our tiny dog is coming for your Great Dane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing I do like consistent is the weather sometimes. So I do really enjoy that aspect of my work is the ability to connect with people. I take this back to my days and bike tours where, you know, you're ushering people up, you know, a 10-mile climb in the Alps. And everybody's different in how they respond to stress and pain and a struggle. Challenge. And, you know, some people talk your ear off. Some people are like, leave me alone. And my job is really to get them up the climb safely and happily. And it was sort of one of the things I found that I was really good at is connecting with people, you know, across a really broad range, you know, and that's finding something that excites them or something that you share. I love connecting with people. And I found that that has been my superpower at Zwift. And that takes an investment in people, an investment in what they do, a respect for what they do and their ways of working. And that's what's really allowed me to get the most out of my partnerships at Zwift. And then the teams that I work with, the individuals I work with is understanding, you know, how they work best, how they organize their efforts, and then how we can collaborate best. I really enjoy that. It's, I think it takes a lot of empathy, and it also takes some serious focus and an understanding, a willingness to sort of prepare and understand everybody's workload. So that's been something I really enjoy doing. And as a producer, project manager, somebody that likes to be a facilitator to executing, you know, large scale projects. That's something you really need to be able to harness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And all that sounds to me like you have a really good EQ, that ability to kind of read other people's emotions and sort of work within that, which I think is one of those skills that makes a job like yours just so much easier because, you know, for a lot of people, I'm sure it's a little bit like, oh no, women's strategy. We're going to have to like add a project to our already long to-do list. But to be able to kind of explain to someone, you know, why it should matter to them and why it's good for them and why it's a positive and like communicate in the way that makes sense for them, I think is such a huge skill and a really important one.
Yeah.
And that actually reminds me of like in this current like remote hybrid workspace that we all have now. Do you find with like communicating with different people within Zwift, do you find like for some people you default to email versus text versus call some people and some people prefer video? Do you kind of start just like having that in your head and just going with their styles?
More so now than ever. You know, everybody has a sort of a different way they like to communicate with the different way that they respond. You know, some people are immediate, you know, Slack them and they'll get right back to you. Others are like, hey, you know, send them an email to set up some time in a week. You know, it's appreciating, you know, where people are coming from, using, you know, the appropriate channel for things. Being always mindful and respectful of other people's time. I don't like it when people come at me and say, hey, I need this yesterday or answer this kind of thing. So I think, you know, we have so many ways of communicating these days. So there's a lot of thought and patience need to go into how to best do that so as we don't just all, you know, have our brains overrun by context switching.
110%. I will say if I just I have to kind of almost block the bottom of my screen right now because I have too many apps that have little like notification bubbles that are terrifying me. So it's very hard when you're the one trying to be the conscientious communicator. So you're taking in the inputs from everywhere else to like meet people on the place that they want to be met. It's definitely a tough a tough road, but find it. It does help get things done. At least.
And sometimes it's also about communicating your best modes of, you know, of interaction as well, you know, so that you're setting up the appropriate boundaries and you're setting up other people for a successful partnership with you. So,
yeah, exactly. So on that note, how do you, and I mean, it sounds like Zwift is very much like obviously on board with the women's strategy, obviously, you know, title sponsor for Tour de France Femmes. They started the Zwift Academy with women instead of going for like U23 men. So thank goodness for that, because that would have been a very boring reality show. just saying. How do you keep a company like that, like focusing on kind of furthering women's development? Actually, maybe even in particular, because they've done so much, it would be very easy to kind of like sit back and rest on the laurels here a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's making a good business case for it, right? Like we are all in the business world, and things need to make sense. They need to add up and to contribute to growth of, you know, your platform, your offer, you know, your company. So we've seen such wonderful feedback from the investment we've made early on in women's, in our women's community, in our women's projects, our women's initiatives, that I feel very lucky that I started a company that started early on that. And now, you know, we're reaping the rewards of that as we are able to be the title sponsor for the Tour de France Femmes of X-Swift. So I feel, I guess it's easy to make a case for it when things go as well as something like the tour recently, when, you know, the audience numbers are off the charts and the fans are showing up and the, you know, the racing is fantastic. And it just sort of proves your case that it's good business, you know, and it's good notoriety. It's, you know, a great investment that's going to have a strong return. So I think a lot of it is, you know, ensuring that you are outlining, you know, very specifically the impact on the business, that you're able to showcase, you know, the successes and the metrics that you're using to gauge the success. So a lot of it is just comes really down to, you know, as simple as numbers, but I also really, really appreciate the qualitative aspect of like, how does this make people feel about Zwift? There's so much great marketing data out there about women being a great target market in terms of them making financial decisions in households and being very loyal to companies that they share the values with. So there's just a lot of good cases, business cases out there to support investing in women's audience and women's sports. So it's really ensuring that, you know, the people that I'm making decisions with are, aware of that data out there, that really believe in it. We've seen such a great return on, our investment in, you know, in women. So it's, you know, it really helps support, you know, that further investment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like what you just said about quantitative and qualitative. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually something it's very easy to miss in a lot, like for a lot of people, we tend to be like one or the other or prefer one or the other naturally. So I feel like being able to blend the two is, again, similar to having a good EQ, a very important trait for when you're, you know, kind of helping decide what projects are worth tackling next, what changes need to be made, what's happening with stuff.
Yeah.
So on that note, you know, there are a lot of projects kind of constantly going on, right? Like I imagine there's sort of your hum of everyday business of just, you know, the Zwift world and like the online component of it. But then you also have big events like the tour. Then you have even the rundown after Tour de France Femmes of X-Zwift, which you're also sponsoring for the next few years. So it's not like, oh, we're one and done. This is like, okay, now we got to start planning for 2023. You know, there are all of these other projects going and they're all in various stages of development. And I know it's so easy to always focus on like the shiny thing that's on your plate right now.
Yeah.
How do you keep all of the projects organized? Like what apps are you using? How do you keep it straight in your head? How do you decide what to focus on any given day? Give us the nitty gritty here.
Yeah, Headspace. You know, headspace, it starts with headspace. I think, let's see, the apps that I use. I mean, it is staying organized. It is making time in my day to organize my inbox, to update project statuses. I'm trying to think what apps specifically I use besides, like, you know, general Google Suite. And Slack, a lot of Slack.
Well, even Google Suite, how do you use your calendar? What does that look like? Do you block off like time for regular work, or do you just have appointments?
That's a great point. I do, you know, I ensure that I block off work time, heads down time. Personal development time is a big one, you know, because I do need, you know, to kind of tap into, you know, ways to ensure that I am, you know, growing, you know, as a business professional, you know, and taking good care of myself and feeling like I'm learning new best practices, keeping my head straight so that I can, you know, be my best, you know, for the next meeting I'm in, you know, so not spinning out of control. So making sure that, you know, if I need a half hour between meetings, that I just block that time so that I can't, you know, be overwhelmed. So it is kind of creating those boundaries, definitely creating some time for creative thinking, as well as reflection. There's a lot of reflection right now from the tour and how we can, you know, evolve that and what are the ways we can bring our community on board with the exciting things that are happening in women's pro cycling right now. So it's easy to get overwhelmed. So I think it is ensuring that you're creating that space to absorb and react.
Oh, love that. You mentioned meetings and sort of that like time before them to be prepared. Any tips for someone who has a lot of meetings and is like terrified of presenting, especially, and I mean, you know, I'm not sure what the exact like male to female ratio at Zwift is, but walking into a meeting room full of dudes and knowing that you have to present to them, and you know, that's intimidating for anyone. But any tips for walking in feeling confident and delivering a good presentation? Because I imagine you have to sell stuff too, right? Like you're selling people on why this is a good idea, even if like we know that women's anything is a great idea, but as you said, we need to prove the investment is a worthwhile one.
Yeah, I have a couple tips and tricks for presenting. I really enjoy presenting, and that did not come easily. That has been years in the making. There's a couple little tricks, like just breathing exercises of that, like, you know, 6 minute slow breath into the belly six seconds in, 6 seconds out kind of thing to calm your nervous system. The number one thing though is preparation. If you understand what you're going to be talking about, if you can speak to it more casually and really know it backwards and forwards and get people behind it, you know, that's going to be your best bet in terms of communicating your ideas or communicating, you know, your project. What else do I really like to do? Let's see. Whatever makes you feel confident, you know, for some women that might be lipstick and heels, you know, you feel a little bit empowered. For others, it might be just, you know, knowing your notes backwards and forwards. I think, yeah, it's trying to think what else I do when I present, because I really do enjoy. Oh, this is my favorite thing. Yes, if you're having a good time, they're having a good time. So if you are excited about what you're presenting, and maybe that's also in your preparation for it, finding a way to talk about something that's going to be slightly more engaging or going to communicate your passion for it. But if you're enjoying yourself and if you're clearly enthusiastic about what you're talking about, people are going to get on board with that. We all want to be excited. You know, we want to be surprised. We want to be supportive. I think that the natural human inclination is to, you know, to appreciate each other and to, you know, to be engaged. So, you know, as much as you can do to create a presentation that is going to engage your audience and going to showcase your passion, your expertise, your knowledge is how you're going to really win over that audience. And that's also going to be your most confident self. And that's what it's really about, you know, taking deep breaths, practicing. I like to practice. You have to say it out loud too. You can't just read it on your screen. You have to say it out loud. And I'm lucky. My brother is an actor and he has taught me a lot of this on how to properly prepare for auditions. And you have to put yourself in as close to the environment as possible in advance so that you're ready. Because I've definitely gone into meetings where I'm like, wow, I know this backwards and forwards. And then you're there and maybe like the whole audience is shut down. So you're not getting feedback or something. So you have to still be, you know, as engaging without that immediate feedback. So you got to kind of be prepared for all situations. And that's just really, I always think about like, you know, just telling my family what I'm doing, you know, and like what kind of energy I bring to that conversation, you know, so definitely energy is a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I mean, obviously it's served you quite well. I mean, you've been interviewed so many times in the past couple months. I mean, I saw you in Forbes for crying out loud, which is just like next level terrifying in my book, but just like so amazing and so exciting to see, you know, that whole, just everything kind of coming out and talking about the advancement of women's sports and how, you know, this American company is playing a role in changing the most iconic race in the world and bringing it into, you know, the current century.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I have a very easy job getting people excited about this, you
it's
know?
It's true. Yeah. Although, you know what, I imagine the early days of Zwift Academy were actually not nearly as easy to get people super excited and on board.
Not at all. There was a lot of convincing. Anytime you have a, you know, startup situation and a company that's coming in and changing what people think they know about cycling, one of the oldest sports and established sports with a lot of rules, and a long kind of iconic history. People don't necessarily like it when you come in and you shake things up. Now I feel like we've gotten the confidence behind us from a lot of the industry, the athletes, the organizers that, you know, hey, if Zwift is doing something, let's take another look and let's see, you know, there's some trust in there because we've tried things and we really put our whole heart into it. And we always are just about growing the sport and bringing more people into the sport, making it more accessible and inclusive. So it's, you know, it's really exciting to see how those early conversations of trying to convince people. And now it's like, you know, they're banging down the door to want to collaborate. And that's great. That's really great.
So I want to kind of talk about just like the anatomy of getting any one of these projects sort of like from this conception to where it actually happens. And I mean, I know some of them like Tour de France Femmes of X Swift is going to be a much longer lead out. But can you maybe think of like a smaller project that we can kind of talk about from like when it first started to when it launched and kind of get into a bit of the nitty gritty of what it looks like to make that happen? Because I think a lot of people think like the tour stuff just starts kind of the month before.
Yeah.
But any of these projects are typically like months in the making, if not years.
There's always so much more behind the scenes that goes on before you actually just see it, you know, come to fruition.
And also, do you have like a board where you list out just like what current projects are happening? Like, how do you keep track of all of them? Because they're all in different stages, right?
Yeah, they are. You know, we have various documentation we use at work to organize the projects and the various efforts, a lot of briefs that allow different teams to sort of input their work on a specific project. So you'll have like a brief for Zwift Academy and it'll have, you know, the marketing component, the in-game component, the PR component, the social component, you know, so it allows us to organize all of our efforts. So, and that's actually how most projects start. They start with a brief that outlines the objective because you always have to have something simple and concise that you're going to ladder up to. And everything has to sort of answer to that. So then any action you take, anything that you create around the project is going to ultimately deliver on that objective. So that's a big part of it, is having clarity from the start. And then it's going channel by channel to understand how to best bring the project to life, what resources you will need, and allocating those resources. I've had resources pulled last minute on a project, and that's had big impacts. So there's also always some flexibility needed in a project plan. But it is about regular status meetings. So for something like Zwift Academy, Zwift Academy is almost a year-round project, because, you know, the 1 month of in-game content and then the week-long Zwift Academy finals, that's 5 weeks, but it takes the rest of the year to plan that. And it's a huge effort across the company to ensure that it's a seamless experience, you know? And it involves working with partners, and it involves working with every team in the business to ensure that we are, you know, are putting forth a product that, you know, that I guess, you know, is, you know, from the outside audience, you know, looks like a very complete proposition and is easy to understand, to engage with, easy for the media to talk about. You know, anything that looks simple is typically that, you know, this more simple it is, the harder the work was behind the scenes to ensure that simplicity. It's like kind of like logo design. You know, my husband being a designer always tells me, like, logo design is probably one of the most complex things. And the better the logo, the more simple it appears, you know, and the more simple it is, you know, to sort of, you know, remember and interact with. So, yeah, so I think for any of these really complex projects, it is really all about making sure that your internal teams are in lockstep, that it's easy to communicate to the media, and that, you know, you're just doing regular status updates to keep everybody on the same page, keep the project moving forward. It's going to allow you to better react to those, you know, speed bumps that inevitably will happen. You know, nothing ever just is pulled off super smooth. There's always something that happens. So, you know, being able to react to that is a big part of it as well. So, yeah, I think that kind of, you know, very high level captures like how you pull something like that off. But there's a lot that goes in behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it is just late nights and just, you know, taking the time to really think things fully through, and and a lot of collaboration.
Yeah. And it's funny, because even as I'm thinking about this from even just like a personal level, I think the project brief is actually something that a lot more people could do on even solo projects or like
Absolutely.
With very small businesses. And it's a step that gets missed and yeah. is probably ludicrously helpful for a lot of people. So I think that was yes. some really good
something
tangible advice.
Exactly. Something to outline your objective and the channels that you're going to use to make this happen, you know, and the resources is just, you know, something that you can always go back to, you know, when things start to get a little out of hand, something you can always defer back to keep you focused.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So you have all of this stuff going on at work, but you also just raced like SBT gravel the other weekend. no big deal or anything.
Yes.
So the one question I really want to keep asking everyone on this podcast is, when you're a woman in the fitness industry, I do think, and maybe you can even like argue with me about this, I think there's like a bit of a assumption that you are going to be fit enough to do X, Y, Z thing, whether, you know, it is like racing this gravel race, or you know, if you're a yoga instructor, you should be able to do like theoretically like do this advanced yoga, which I know isn't true, but I would say the pressure does exist.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, we also have very busy lives, and as work gets busier, training gets harder and harder to fit in. So how do you fit in the training for something like SBT? And you know, how does it feel? Do you feel the same thing as me, where you kind of feel like you should be able to perform?
Yeah. Especially as an ex-pro racer, I have this unrealistic expectation of where my fitness should be, right? I think we all have that. So there's always a little part of me that wants more time to ride and more time to train, and feels like I'm letting myself down. And I think it's coming to terms with that feeling and being more realistic about it and my time and what my priorities are right now. This year, my priority is ensuring that the Tour de France Femmevec Zwift was the best it could possibly be. And so any kind of cycling, fitness expectations kind of went out the door. But I also know to be at my personal best in the office, I do need to be balanced. And exercise is a big part of my balance. It's a big part of my release. It's sort of my drug of choice, feeling good about myself and, keeping up energy levels and being able to stay kind of focused at work as well. You know, if I feel sort of balanced and happy outside of work, I'm going to be more balanced and happy inside of work. So I adjusted what I would typically do. You know, I ride almost 10,000 miles a year, and this year that's just not going to be possible. So I just ride when I can. I try to combine work and play when I can. So riding with coworkers, Zwifting is a very efficient way to stay fit. So I Zwift quite a bit. And also just, like I said, resetting those expectations. So instead of saying I'm going to top 20 at Steamboat, I said to myself, I'm going to finish with a smile. It's 100 miles. I have not been able to maintain, the kind of weekly volume that would make me crush 100 miles, but I can maintain just enough that I can hopefully finish with a smile. And so I finished with a smile and I finished 15th. I was having fun. So it is, I do prioritize fitness still. I've heard so many people sometimes in the industry be like, the more you work in the cycling industry, the less you ride your bike. And I don't believe that has to be true. It does take some prioritization and some compromise at some level. Something has to go if you're going to sneak in that hour of fitness. Maybe it's an hour of sleep sometimes. But if you prioritize it in your life, you kind of find a way to at least, stay relatively fit. And it also, I've always felt like being a cyclist in this industry and my background in racing has really contributed to my my success in my job. It's allowed me to understand our customer. It allows me to talk with all levels of the industry, especially when we were talking about Tour de France, Femmevec Zwift, being able to relate to teams and riders in a different way. So for me personally, it's an asset to my job. So I make it a priority in my life.
Oh, yes. Could not agree more. You're right. Everyone always talks about how when you start in the cycling industry, you're never going to have time to ride. And
yeah,
I can definitely see where it's true. And it's frankly why I got into running when I was managing a team and I was on the road all the time. But you're right. Like if you prioritize it, you can certainly figure it out.
And sometimes with travel and stuff, it is not easy. And there's definitely times I'm just doing like sit-ups and push-ups in my hotel room or something like that, just to take the edge off and maintain some sort of level of fitness. But, as soon as I have access to a bike, I've been known to rent, a city bike and just like do 20 miles around Paris or something.
Oh, totally. I was going to say, I remember staying at the USA Cycling house, like when I was managing a team and borrowing their fixed gear, like junkers that they have lying around and just pedaling away on them just to have something to ride. Yeah.
Yeah, has absolutely. Two wheels, will ride.
Exactly. Okay, well, you've made this sound both incredibly glamorous and incredibly unglamorous. Yeah. So, the big question is, how can I get your job? So what are your tips for women who are kind of looking into getting into maybe some of these kind of a blend of, I guess, tradition? You're kind of in this space that's like traditional but untraditional, right? You're working for kind of a more corporate company, but it is still kind of a startup. You've done kind of all of the roles that are more traditional, but you're also now women's strategy. So that's something a little bit different. So yeah, how can someone kind of find their niche in this industry if you were to do it all over again?
I think definitely finding your unique superpower. We all have them, where you're going to be the biggest asset to the company, what sets you apart, as opposed to trying to fit in all the time. Think about what you have to bring to the table. So, and that involves also honing your own skills. You know, there's a lot I've done on my own time, to whether that means, you know, to, you know, researching the Women's World Tour and just knowing as much as I possibly can about my subject, you know, or, you know, personal development, you know, just trying to figure out where your passions lie and how those interact with your skills. And, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Rely on mentors, friends to help, you know, read your resume, read your cover letter, network. I love networking.
Zwift should have business cards, like where you can like tap someone on the shoulder in a ride and hand them a business card.
You're onto an idea.
Please get that started for me.
Yeah, it is. It's making connections with people, you know, getting outside your comfort zone to join a networking event or to ask, you know, somebody that you really admire for a 15-minute conversation, you know, or different ways that you can learn more about your industry without, you know, you got to also be kind of respectful. You got to show that you understand that, you know, people are busy and things like that as well. But, you know, definitely following your passion, doing the work, you know, definitely having some support in, you know, reading through your LinkedIn profile and the different ways you're presenting yourself, you know, on the great wide web.
Oh, yeah. And that's not to say TikTok dances are a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's just like that knowledge that like this is the image that you're putting out. And if that's the image, then
yeah,
like,
and that's
fantastic.
I'm a big, big fan of being your authentic self, mm-hmm. you know, because you know that's kind of where we're all best. And yep. There's gonna be somebody that's gonna appreciate it. Not everybody is going to appreciate it, you know, and it's about finding the right work environment, the right future teammates that are going to appreciate what you bring to the table. And that's not an easy thing, you know, and I've applied to jobs where I'm like, oh, I know I'm the perfect fit for this. And I never even got a call back and it's crushing, but that should never stop you. You know, keep going with your personal development, your personal projects, your, you know, your relationships, and opportunities eventually open. It's not going to be overnight. It's the long game. My career has been very long one in cycling at this point. And like I said, you know, it was a very windy kind of career, but I'm so happy to be where I'm at. And it was, you know, it was trying to seize every opportunity and to make a lot of different connections. Don't be afraid to send that email or to, you know, show up at that event, you know, wherever you most feel comfortable, or sometimes, like I said, uncomfortable too, because you gotta stretch yourself too. You gotta put yourself in positions that, you know, are going to expand your knowledge, expand your network, and just create those exciting opportunities, you know. And you never know when it's all going to kind of connect and, you know, and hit. And, you know, I can't believe when Zwift responded to my email that I sent to partnerships@Zwift, I just sent it into the great void. And I got an email back like the next day. It was sort of like, hey, why don't you come down to the office and talk this through, you know? And so it's just little things like that sometimes that really work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. Okay. So what's next? What's happening at Zwift? What should we know about before I let you go here?
Yeah. Well, Zwift Academy is launching in September 12th. You can sign up now. That's a great program that is not only the talent ID program for the next pro contract. So if you're going for a pro contract, definitely do it, but it's also for everybody. And it's really going to teach you more about who you are as a cyclist, where your strengths and weaknesses are, going to teach you how to get through some great challenging workouts. So you're going to come out of it with more fitness and a lot more knowledge on who you are as an athlete and on the bike. So that's exciting. We've got, some new launches this fall. So I definitely, you know, if you're not on the platform, get on the platform. And if you are, be excited for, you know, some new roads. Always, we're shaking things up. I think it's shaping up to be a really great season on Zwift, coming off of the Tour de France Femme Avec Zwift. I think there's the women's community especially is super hyped right now, and there's so many wonderful women's clubs and events to join. to keep motivated, to make new friends. It's going to be a great fall season. I'm looking forward to it because honestly, I kind of want to get back into a little bit more routine. And that's what Zwift is really good for, helping create that kind of habit and, create that consistency so that, you can attack the rest of your life with, some really solid energy.
Oh, so good. Okay. Where can everyone find you? Follow along with Zwift and Tour de France Femmes Avec Zwift and yes. the podium squirrel. Give us all the links, all the URLs, hit us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely Zwift.com if you're not familiar with the product, to kind of understand how you do it. Zwift.com/watchthefemme is our campaign around our Tour de France Femme Avec Zwift partnership. So it kind of will keep you abreast of some of the exciting things that are going on in our women's community. My personal Instagram is just Kate Verano, which is my last name. I can't really think of anything else.
Just the podium squirrel. You didn't drop the podium squirrel.
Yes, that is Scotty the squirrel, who is our was given to the stage winner of every stage at the Tour de France. He's the mascot of Zwift, and he had a wonderful debut at this year's tour. Now everybody, employees and our community, are clamoring for a podium squirrel. It's a beautiful 16-inch stuffed animal. Wearing a stocking cap that says "Watch the Femme."
Please tell me they're going to be available for order. I want to get one for DW for Christmas.
Not yet, but we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we'll be able to keep him from his biggest fans.
I don't think so.
Biggest fans. We're actually not sure. Yeah, Scotty could be a man or a woman. It's Scotty, and
The Watch the Femmes cap. I have gotten, and I'm not kidding you, dozens of messages asking where someone can get one. So I think next year you guys are probably going to have to figure out.
There's going to be some exciting merch next year. It was fun to roll out those caps and Musettes that just had that simple message of Watch the Femme, and it worked.
So good.
So a lot of fun, and we're definitely going to build off of that next year.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, Kate, thank you so much for doing this. This is such a pleasure chatting with you about all of this nerdy business stuff. So thanks.
Thank you, Molly. Always a pleasure.
Molly here again, just jumping in to give you a quick wrap up to this amazing episode with Zwift's Kate Verano. I loved doing this episode. I've loved watching Kate just really crush it in her career, bring that Tour de France Femmes Avec Zwift to life this season. And, just everything she's done with Zwift Academy and keeping Zwift on the path towards getting more women on bikes. Anything that does that makes me very happy. So what did we take away from this episode? First of all, you can't get what you don't ask for. So when Kate ended up at Zwift, it wasn't necessarily because she applied for a specific job, but it was because when she was working at the bike tour company, she just got in touch with Zwift when she had a cool idea. So coming to some of these companies that you want to work for, your dream company, come to them with a cool proposition. You never know what could happen. The second thing she pointed out is don't be afraid to go to people who are already in the job that you want and ask for a little bit of their time in a very respectful way, obviously, but it's always worth that quick email, ask for a conversation. A lot of people in the industry are so happy to talk to people, especially women who are trying to get into this very male-dominated space. And of course, my personal favorite thing, because you all know I love a good organizational tactical tip, love her point about keeping her Google Calendar very booked off and really making that space for the creative endeavors, blocking off time for just thinking about projects, spending time on projects, not just responding to people via email or getting into yet another meeting. You really need to schedule that time to work on these bigger things. Otherwise, frankly, they never make a whole lot of progress. So definitely carve out that think time, that work time for yourself, and make it as important as the meeting with your boss. All right, that is all for this episode. We will see you next week over on the Feisty Media Women's Performance Podcast. I'm Molly Herford, and you've been listening to The Business of Fitness. All right, thanks, and get to work.